You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Gold Hawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Gold Hawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Now, let's continue with Gold Hawk Fights Back with Dale Gold Hawk on AM 740.
Okay, it's 12:06 on Zoomer Radio, and we have in the studio Dr. Hartley Milchen. You know him. He is our resident podiatrist, and he's here today to talk about foot care and have ply him with questions for which there will be answers. I'm saying that's going to happen, Hartley, so we'll we'll hope that it is. And now we discover that May, the month of May, is International Foot Care Month.
May is International Foot Health Month.
It's the time that
podiatrists around the world try to educate the public the importance of looking after their feet. Because as we've discussed many times before on the show, is the feet are the most ignored part of the body.
Yeah.
And you really only pay attention to them when they hurt and your transportation is somewhat hindered by it. Otherwise, you ignore it.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, is that changing somewhat because of, well, the things you talk about? And are there more podiatrists in the world? Is it an emerging part of healthcare, I guess is what I'm asking.
I think it's an emerging part of healthcare. Mainly, you have a great part in it because you help to educate the public that there are foot specialists called podiatrists. Mm-hmm. Many people don't know that, and their first line would be to go to their family doctor, for example. But podiatrists are far best trained to deal only with the feet.
Well, they're feet specialists, right?
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
So we want to educate the public that there is help available, and it isn't necessary to have foot pain. Mm-hmm. There are many things that can be done.
I think there's that kind of attitude out there, isn't it? Oh, well, I'm getting older. I'm in my 60s. I'm in my 70s. I'm in my 80s. My feet hurt. But I kind of expect my feet are going to hurt because of my age.
That's
right?
True.
You must hear that all the time.
It is an expectation. Oh, I'm developing arthritis.
Yeah.
That's what I hear the most. Mm-hmm. But people are living longer. They're becoming more active. Even the seniors are becoming more active. But one of the biggest problems that we face is that diabetes is becoming rampant.
Yeah.
And with diabetes, it affects the feet in a major way. So we want to try and prevent complications from people who have diabetes and their feet.
Well, it's a risk of infection problem. That's one of the major things, is it?
It's one of the major things is infection. They may lose loss of sensation in their feet and not know that they have a cut, a blister, et cetera.
Yeah.
Many diabetics get wounds that are very difficult to control and can lead to loss of either part of a foot or, God forbid, a limb.
Yeah, of course. Well, but if it's an infection or something like that, I guess what I'm trying to say is that checking with a podiatrist, if in fact you've been diagnosed with diabetes, would be an important step to take at some point. There may be things you can do of a preventive nature.
Being a podiatrist, I give a lot of advice to people who are newly diagnosed with diabetes, mm-hmm. because the long-term individuals, they know. But the people who have just been diagnosed, I will give them some helpful hints, and whether they can do it at home or I need to check it, et cetera, or any podiatrist, to avoid problems. So we're being proactive in it.
And that's infections that would be most likely in somebody suffering from diabetes. But what about generally? I mean, what's the level of risk for foot infections generally in the population?
There is a high risk. Number one, you've got to look at the manicure pedicure salons that there are two and three on each block, certainly here in Toronto. that there isn't properly trained technicians or proper sterilization techniques. So we see a lot of infections. The other thing to realize is there are people who have poor circulation. Mm-hmm. And the fact is the feet is the furthest part of the body from the heart. So even at the best of times, circulation isn't as great in the feet mm-hmm. as it would be in the rest of the body, for example, a hand, for example. Mm-hmm. So getting medication down there, even if you have an infection and perhaps you have to take antibiotics, getting the medication down there is a little bit more difficult. Plus, you must realize shoes and socks is a very dirty environment.
Well, for sure.
It's not clean.
More people would seem to be, at least from time to time, going to gyms and other workout places as well. Is that a source of possible infection? Is that a concern? Do you see that kind of thing as well?
It's an actual breeding ground for things like bacteria, especially fungus and viral infections. Mm-hmm. One of the most common things we see, and what I suggest to my patients is if they're going to a gym, a public shower or a pool or whatever, where water shoes or flip-flops, something to protect your feet from the germs that are underlying.
Yeah.
That's real important. But one of the common things that we'll see that's either left untreated or unnoticed is athlete's foot. Athlete's foot, and you don't have to be an athlete to have athlete's foot, is a fungal infection, and it loves warm, dark, moist environments. So usually the first place you'll see it is in between the web space of the baby toe. And it can get very itchy. You can get sort of like blisters, some redness, some cracking. If you don't treat it, it can continue on to the nails as well, which really becomes a problem. Now, there's a lot of ways that people can cut down on the athlete's foot. Keeping it dry. If you're showering or bathing, make sure you dry well in between the toes, not just the top and the bottom of the feet. Use a spray antifungal found over the counter or a powder in the shoe to keep things dry. Don't wear the same pair of shoes 2 days in a row. Make sure your socks are clean. Mm-hmm. Cut down on the sweating. And one of the easiest things I tell people for feet that oversweat is take a spray bottle, like those plastic bottles that are used to water plants, for example, and fill it with plain old alcohol and spray the skin on your feet before you put your socks on in the morning. And for some people, that keeps it nice and dry because sweating is a problem. The fungus likes moisture. So if you have fungus, if you definitely get the infection, usually an over-the-counter medication won't clear it up. It's better for prevention.
It's more preventive then, yeah.
But one of the products that's been around for many, many years, made by Valiant Canada, is a product called Loprox Cream, which is once you have the infection, if you use that, it's going to clear it up.
Okay.
But you need a prescription from your podiatrist to get that. That's not over the counter.
What about washing your feet? I mean, in all of this, you got to take some special care, do you not, in washing your feet as well?
Well, I think you should carefully wash every part of your body.
It goes without saying.
But with feet, you got to dry them well. That's the real key. Because a lot of people will dry on top and the bottom. They won't dry in between the toes. And the fungus loves that.
Not sure I did this morning dry between my toes.
Shame on you.
Yeah, I know. Here's a Neil calling on his cell phone. Neil, do you have a question for Dr. Hartley?
Yes, I have a wonky fourth toe on my left foot. Every other toenail is flapped and nice and easily trimmed. And the one on my left toe is like a pyramid. And I went to a guy who he ground it off with a little wheel and said there's a fungus there. I went to a fungus clinic, and they said it's not the right fungus. Just spray it with vinegar. But I almost have to have bolt cutters to take that one off, and it has pain in it. What can I do?
Well, my suggestion to you, it's really sometimes difficult to diagnose if you truly have a fungus in the nail. But a true fungus in the nail can thicken your nail and become painful. And most podiatrists will, one of the things they will do is file down the nail so it's thinner and more comfortable. But there are some medications, some newer over-the-counter medications to help fungus of the nails right now. And I've brought a couple of these into the studio. And one of the more exciting products that's going to be launched on June 1st is a medication, a prescription medication called Jublia by Valiant Canada, which is a huge multinational pharmaceutical company who develops a lot of dermatological compounds, and they've sort of partnered up with the Ontario Podiatric Medical Association this year to promote foot health.
This is new then, right? This is brand
new. Is going to be launched June 1st, and we're very excited because it's really the first antifungal medication that's been launched in many, many years, so we're kind of hopeful. And if you have really bad fungus where you've had it for 10 years and it affects all nails and all your nails are thick and it's past the cuticle, that's considered a severe case, and really the chances of topicals working on those types of nails, it's just not going to work.
So then the alternate is what? If none of these work at that point as topical medications, what do you do then?
Sometimes lasers are used for that in conjunction with other medications. Like I've brought in another newer over-the-counter.
You look like a pharmacy here today, Hartley. Gee whiz.
This is called Emtrex. And this is over the counter, and it's an easy to apply solution for also, again, for mild fungus nail solution.
Now, is it fair to say then that all these ones that you have here and the ones you've mentioned, that's really for mild, manageable?
Very mild. But the problem with fungus nails is it usually starts to discolor or flake at the top of the nail. And if caught early, a lot of the topicals have a chance at working. But once it passes the cuticle area and becomes thickened, and many nails become affected, the topicals
really
won't affect it. And I've brought another new treatment in that was developed in Germany and has just been launched by FootLogix here in Toronto. And what it is you put a solution on your nail, and again, it's for mild or moderate fungus, but this is more for clinics like manicure, pedicure, salons, and you put this blue medicated light-sensitive solution on your nail, and you turn on this proprietary light for about 10 minutes on the nail.
No, it's a red light. Yeah, okay.
And you put it on your nail for 10 minutes, and apparently it'll clear up.
Well, is that better than these other ointments?
Well, I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know. Really, this is brand new. A lot of this is brand new, and I haven't had the opportunity to try it. The one I'm most excited about is the Jublia by Valiant because, as we know, prescription, it's going to be a bit stronger.
Yeah, okay. All right, Neil, I hope some of that information helps. Let me get a word in here. Maybe laser treatment somewhere might be of some benefit. That's what Hartley would say, I think, right? Yeah, yeah.
If it's real severe, but with fungal nails, filing them down certainly makes them look more normal and certainly much more comfortable.
Okay.
And sometimes if you drop something or stub a nail, the nail will never grow properly. It just grows thick and it appears as a fungus, but it's not,
really a fungus. Okay. All right, Neil, thanks very much.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
Dr. Hartley Milchin, our resident podiatrist, is here answering your questions, particularly since this is International Foot Health Month. Is there a parade or something?
We're closing Young Street on Sunday.
Really?
And we're all walking.
And you'll all be walking barefoot. Yeah, you're just kidding, of course.
That is
not going to happen. Here's Sharon on the line from London. Sharon, do you have a question?
Well, more of a comment, I guess, about foot care.
Yeah.
And I certainly try to take good care of my feet. I have narrow feet, and I've got heel spurs, so I have a lot of pain. But it used to be, you used to be able to go into a shoe store and get your shoes measured and have somebody that knows about shoes and feet to fit your shoes.
Yeah, anymore, the good old days, almost, I remember.
It's almost impossible now to find any place to get your foot properly fitted and to find shoes for narrow feet.
It's, you're so right. Those days are long gone, but what I would recommend, as I recommend to all my patients, is there are 8 New Balance stores here in Toronto.
I don't live in Toronto, so.
Oh.
I live about 25 miles from London, so.
Outside London, yeah.
You know what? It would probably be worth your while.
It's worth the drive to Toronto, right? It's,
yeah, like worth the ride to Acton. Remember that? The New Balance stores, I was just in there, I believe, on Saturday morning, and I trained some of the people, and they measure your feet. That's first and foremost. They'll watch you walk. They come in a wide variety of widths, from narrow to the widest shoe you can get, and they put a lot of research and development in their shoes. And, in fact, they just came out with a woman's shoe that is extremely lightweight and really, really comfortable. It does come in narrow sizes. And these sales associates really know what they're doing.
Yeah, but that's just running shoes and such. It's not do they have everything?
No, they also have a line of casual shoes as well.
Okay. Well, that sounds very nice, but I wouldn't drive to Toronto. I wouldn't.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's another whole set of issues.
See, feet aren't important.
But you are right, Sharon. I mean, I remember those measuring things. Nobody uses those anymore. In fact, people you encounter in shoe stores barely know where to find a pair of shoes that might remotely fit you.
Well, I was in a shoe store, and the shoes were too wide. So
yeah.
What they did was they brought me a size shorter, size smaller, and tried to push my foot in that. And I said, no, you can't go shorter.
Were they?
Well, you got to understand, size is just an initial indicator.
Yeah. But people don't seem to know anything in the stores anymore.
Well, like a size 9 in a Nike and a size 9 in a Reebok may be totally different. And if you try on the exact same shoes, same model, same size, you may find the difference in the fit as well. So size is just a basic indicator. You really have to try on the shoe. Walk around, hopefully not on carpeting, and spend some time. I always advise my patients to buy their shoes in the evening when their feet are the most swollen. And bigger is better, usually. And you don't want to break in a shoe, because if you're breaking in a shoe, you're breaking down part of your foot.
Okay, so you don't want a shoe that you think will get a little looser as you wear it, and it's a little too tight in the beginning. You don't want that at all.
You don't want that. You're going to end up with either a blister or a painful corn or something.
Okay.
That's right, but it's hard to find the narrow ones and the ones that your orthotics will fit in. It's really, really difficult.
Yeah.
It's hard, but there's so many women's shoes out there that it may take a little extra time, but they are out there.
Yeah. Sharon, thanks very much. It's, I think, a common problem getting somebody who is an expert enough they can actually say, hey, those shoes are for you. Not just how they look, but what they can do for your foot.
And that's hard to find.
Well, yeah. Ruth is on the line from Guelph. Ruth, do you have a question for Dr. Hartley Milchen?
I do, and I just turned the radio on, so I don't know whether you've already answered it. But my question is, for an ingrown toenail, the doctor has suggested packing it and so on, trying to get it to grow up out of the bed, but it hasn't worked. And I had heard from someone else that you can have the outer edges lasered. Do you have any recommendations?
Certainly, reducing the part that's aggravating the skin. Either some people pack it with cotton, or there's these metal nail braces people apply. But there are easier, more permanent solutions, like either cutting along the edge and destroying that part of the root, not taking off the whole nail. That's barbaric. But just the part of the nail, and it doesn't grow in that region anymore. And it's a very simple procedure. Sometimes it's done with laser. Sometimes it's done with chemicals. I have a colleague that does it with laser. I personally use chemicals when I do it. And very simple, virtually painless.
Thank you very much. I will pass that on to him.
All right. Thanks very much for that, Ruth.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
Dr. Hartley Milchen is here answering your questions about foot care, particularly now that it's International Foot Care Month, right?
Okay. Right. And also, hopefully, we're going to start seeing some nice weather after that brutal winter we've had here.
Would be nice.
And people are going to become more active. They're going to be in the sun. And there's a couple things I want to mention to protect people. And one thing is, many people use sunscreen, but they forget to put it on their feet because the feet are the most ignored part of the body.
Of course.
But the skin on the top of the feet are very thin and they're exposed to sun, especially if you're wearing sandals or flip-flops.
Mm-hmm.
Put a little bit of sunscreen on the top of your foot, number one, to prevent sunburn. But also, a lot of people don't know this, but you can get cancer, skin cancer on your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Basal cell carcinoma, squamous cell carcinoma, malignant melanoma, and some of these can be
serious, of course. Yeah.
So what you want to watch for is changes in color, changes in size, irregularities, etc. And if you notice something happening, get in to see your podiatrist. You may need a biopsy on it. The other thing is, as people are more active, their feet swell and sweat more. Certainly wear appropriate shoes if you're doing a lot of walking, if you're very active or you're going walking, sightseeing, etc. Wear a running shoe. Don't wear flip-flops. I don't mind the people that wear flip-flops, but if you're going to a friend's house
for
a barbecue
or
you're going to the pool or to the beach, that's fine. But if you're going for a long walk, please don't wear flip-flops. Wear your running shoes. And if you wear orthotics, certainly wear your orthotics. And also when your feet swell, your shoes tend to become a little smaller, so you may develop some corns and calluses, which is just from friction. One of the things we ask you not to do is use corn or callus remover sold in the pharmacies that contain acid, because that can create a problem. And also, don't use like blades and what we call bathroom surgery, because that's dangerous.
Yeah.
And one of the other things that people contract in public places that we didn't mention is what we call plantar warts. And plantar warts is a virus. Generally, a lot of people think it's a callus. Sometimes you can see little black dots in them, and they can spread. They're very contagious, especially in younger people.
From person to person, you mean?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And within yourself.
Or on your own foot, yeah.
And there's many, many treatments. One of the ones I've been recommending for years is something called Soluvir Plus, which is available in most Shoppers Drug Marts. And if it's not on the counter, you can ask your pharmacist for it. It's real easy to use. It's pretty effective. And, I mean, there's hundreds of different treatments and old wives' tales to treat warts. And it's a real problem. Especially young people get them a lot.
Okay. Let's go to the phones now. Here's Al calling from Toronto. Al, what's your question for Dr. Milchen?
How do you treat peripheral neuropathy?
Peripheral neuropathy is a tough one, and it usually comes from people who have long-standing diabetes, usually type 1 diabetes. Is that the case?
I took an anti-arrhythmia drug for many, many years, and it destroyed part of the myelin sheath in the nerves going down to the foot.
Oh, I see. There's a couple medications. One is and I don't know if you've spoken to your family doctor or a neurologist about it, but one of them that's been around for years is something called gabapentin.
How do you spell that?
Good question.
GABOPENTIN.
Okay.
It's a failing of mine. I know how to spell things.
And the other medication Dale and I were discussing during the break, and it's totally slipped my mind. But there's another medication that probably came out about 4 or 5 years ago that people, some doctors try as a prescription to try and counteract it. And there's also some natural remedies that they have in the States, but for some reason it's not in Canada that's very good at treating it. But in other words, there are some medications
that would work, and maybe if you visited a podiatrist that would get you down the road a ways?
Yeah, there's some things that can work, but like with anything else, not every treatment or every medication works for everybody.
Are these systemic?
Yes. Pretty much anything for peripheral neuropathy is systemic.
Okay.
All right, Al. Thanks very much. I hope some of that helps. In difficult cases like that, though, you really need to be see the podiatrist. Wouldn't you say that?
I mean,
that's got to be the...
Well, with peripheral neuropathy, it may be your family doctor referring you to a neurologist also, because... This seems like an unusual case because usually it comes from diabetes.
Yeah, okay. Here's Eileen calling from Brampton. Eileen, what's your question?
Hi, I think just listening now, my question may have sort of been answered. Mine wasn't about a neuropathy as much as I was told by an orthopedic, because I work at a hospital, that my foot, he thought it might have been a Charcot-Marie tooth or something like that. So I was sent to a neurologist who told me, oh, no, definitely it isn't. I've got the 1 foot smaller than the other, but it's more of a painful thing now. And the neurologist did, what is that test they do, nerve conduction test, and said, no, there's something with the muscle in the leg, because now I get this like a bubbly, almost like if you watched oil bubble, kind of the leg, the muscle in the leg does this. But I get these horrendous arch cramps in my feet and toes. And according to the test came back, he said, well, maybe it's a pinched nerve in your back. Mm-hmm. But the test said, no, there's arthritis. Now, can arthritis pinch nerves?
Have you tried any orthotics or special shoes for this?
No, I haven't.
That would probably be the easiest thing you could try.
But see, I was also told that from the foot, an orthotic really won't make much difference, because if, like, one says Marie tooth, but I've seen pictures of that, and that's really drastic.
That's pretty drastic, and a lot of times that comes from diabetes as well.
Now, see, that's interesting, because I'm not diabetic. My sugar levels are border, but I was also told that, no, the problem, you'd have to have diabetes for a long time before you'd have the foot problems kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Charcot is a pretty serious disorder.
Exactly.
So
I was assured that it wasn't, because even though, there's a difference in probably two sizes practically in the length of my foot, and it wasn't always that way, but I'd say for the past, maybe 35 or 40 years, I've noticed one foot does look like it's the arch comes higher and the foot does look shorter.
Well, that's a possibility. The structure of your foot may have changed for whatever reason, but my suggestion is at least have a consultation with a podiatrist. Perhaps they can figure out, what's going on mechanically in your foot or the structure of your foot.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps if it got balanced out so they work a little bit more equally, either with an orthotic, a change in shoe, maybe even a pad in your shoe, that might be the easiest way to start to see if you can get some degree of comfort.
Yeah, it's really bad, but I don't see the orthotic making that much of a difference, because you're saying that it's a neurologist. I figured if I saw the neurologist...
But the tests are negative, so you got to take the next step, maybe something a little bit easier.
Yeah, well, it seems, I think there's got to be a connection between the muscle in the leg that it all has to be connected somehow, between the foot cramping and the, it's actually, you can watch the muscle kind of like if you were watching oil bubble, like here, there, there.
Well, you got to understand the feet are your foundation of your body, and they can affect parts higher up. Mm-hmm. So if your foot is not working effectively or optimally, it may be creating a strain on some of the muscles higher up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm suggesting.
That's why you're saying orthotic.
Try something easy.
Yeah. Eileen, I hope that helps. Sometimes it's not the answer we're looking for, but it still might be the right answer. Is that not fair? It's easy enough to try.
There's not going to be any side effects. It's not a medication.
Yeah.
It's not a surgical approach.
Yeah.
But that would be easy.
Yeah, but it's investing money, and if you don't have a lot of money, orthotics can be expensive.
It's a consideration.
Yes,
they can be. Yeah. I agree with you, but in our society, the majority of people have third-party insurance that covers it.
Yeah.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
.1249 on Zoomer Radio. Dr. Hartley Milchin is here. Let's go to the phones, and June joins us from Niagara. June, do you have a question?
I certainly do. I have Cooper toes on both feet. And in February, I stubbed my toe, and it was very, very painful.
June, can you hang on a minute? Because Hartley's giving me a strange look when you say Cooper toe.
It's a long second toe, longer than all the rest of your toes.
Oh, that's called
a Cooper's toe? I've never heard it referred to
as
that.
We looked it up in a medical book.
Okay.
And I've used that for you because I thought you'd be familiar with it.
No, I've never heard that term. I know it's more common in women, and there is a belief that if your second toe is longer than your big toe, you possess a lot of wisdom.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
I keep hearing that, but believe me, I don't.
Okay, so then please describe the problem.
Yes, yeah. It won't. I cannot bend it. I can bend it with my fingers, but it's just stays in one spot, and the knuckles won't bend. And I spoke to my doctor, and he said he thought that it would, after a while, it would recover. But this was in February.
It's possible, and I see this all the time, even people who overflex a long toe in bed or wearing a short shoe, they can get something called capsulitis, which is in the joint, and there's some extra fluid or swelling in the joint, and it can become quite painful, and it takes a little bit of work by a podiatrist to try and alleviate that swelling, or there can be some damage to the tendon, which is flexing the toe up initially, but if left long enough, it becomes what's called a rigid hammer toe, and it requires some work to straighten it up. So I would see your local podiatrist for a consultation and see exactly what's going on with that toe before it gets worse.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
All right, June. Thanks. Thanks very much. There, you learn. You see, who says you can't learn something even by being a guest on radio?
You see that? And my first grandson's name is Cooper.
Well, then it's appropriate that as a podiatrist, you now know what a Cooper toe is.
Right.
All right. Okay. Now, there were some other things related to International Foot Care Day you wanted to talk about here?
Just a couple of products that I want to introduce to the Zoomers that may be helpful for their foot care. One is Verilac by Valeo Pharma. It's a solution relatively new that I guess mostly for women who wear nail polish a lot or have psoriasis of the nails and they're getting some ridges or their nails aren't as hard as they should be or some discoloration. And this is a solution I've been using for quite some time, and I'm getting wonderful results. It's strengthening the nail, making the nails look mm-hmm. much better than previous.
Good for flip-flops.
The other product is something made by FootLogix, and there's a whole skew of products for different mm-hmm. varieties of foot problems, and it's developed by a woman who's been in the foot care business for many, many years and believes in developing products for feet that really actually work, because there's more inexpensive materials in salons and certain beauty supply places that have been around for many years out of Germany that don't work as well as this, because this has a high penetration rate and it's not greasy. And this woman believes in using proper foot care for what's needed. So it treats a number of different, a whole variety of different problems with feet. And it's found in many, many clinics and pharmacies, etc.
Okay. Now we're going to run out of time here. So okay. You just picked up an odd.
She just gave me this. This is a flip-flop with, and you know how they usually it just goes between the big toe and the toe next to it. Yeah. This has four of these so that after you have a medical pedicure, you have space for your toe so you can walk home and put your nail polish and it's not going to smudge. Very cute.
Okay. All right. Let's hear from Margaret from Etobicoke. Margaret, do you have a question?
Yes. I hurt my big toe a couple of weeks ago. I think I may have broken it. I'm not sure. But I also cut the end of it a bit. And what I was wondering is, what you hear that if you have a broken toe, there's nothing that can be done. You just leave it. Eventually it gets better. Is that true?
Sometimes they don't get better. I'm dealing with a young lady now who's been a patient for many years who dropped a very large flashlight on her small toe. And oddly enough, for the last 3 or 4 months, she's been wearing those huge gray boots you see some people wear. It's called an air cast boot. If you break your ankle or something, and she's on crutches, she's not walking on it. But I've taken x-rays, and it's not healing. So I have her in some technology that I use in my office that helps stimulate bone healing. So we're decreasing the pain, and that's working unbelievable and reducing the swelling, and hopefully we can get some healing. Really, if a smaller toe stays broken and doesn't hurt, that's okay. It's the big toe we're most worried about because we push off on it.
That's balance,
for our steps.
Isn't it? Yeah.
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 How long does it take to get better, and how can you tell if it's broken?
Yeah.
We have to take an x-ray.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. That or sometimes we take a tuning fork and touch the area, and if it really hurts, we know that it may be broken.
So I go for the x-ray, I think. Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
but I mean, if it doesn't start feeling better in a little while, you should really.
You should have an x-ray. Right? Sometimes it might be just taping the toes together. I'm not sure, but it should be looked at.
Yeah. Okay, Eleanor. Thanks very much for the call.
I just need to say thank you very much to Valiant Pharmaceuticals for helping the Ontario Podiatric Medical Association help with Foot Health Month this year. And if you need more information or you need to find a podiatrist in your area, the website for the Ontario Podiatric Medical Association is opma.ca.
Okay, we'll put that on the podcast later today so people can. All right, time for one last call here. Sharon in Ayr. Sharon, your question, please.
Yes, good afternoon, Goldhawk.
Hi.
Good afternoon, Dr. Melchin. I have a very, very painful hammer toe. I was told that a doctor in the Toronto or surrounding area does laser. Is that correct, sir? And if so, could you tell me?
There is no such thing.
An orthopedic surgeon breaking the toe, resetting it, and putting a rod in it, which you're off your foot apparently for 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, there's no such thing. It's a huge misconception. There's no such thing as laser surgery for bone. It just doesn't exist. And if it did, I'm sure there would be some podiatrists that have it. It can be used for certain what we call soft tissue or non-bone structures, but certainly not for hammer toes. But there are simple procedures done in podiatry offices that can correct hammer toes and sometimes pins and screws don't have to be inserted into the toes, and you
Does
can
one
keep
have
walking.
To be put asleep, sir, to have this
Not
done?
At all. We all use local anesthesia. We don't use general anesthesias, which has its own set of dangers. So you want to have it done with local anesthesia anyways.
Where, sir, in the Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge area could you
There's a doctor. Yes, there's a Dr. Roth and a Dr. Stavropoulos in the area.
Dr. R-O-T-H?
Yes, Dr. David Roth and Dr. Peter Stavropoulos. They work out of the same clinic. Very good. Have a consultation.
Do you all have right. a number at all? Or
no, not off the top of my head. But if you go on the opma.ca website or call the association, they'll be happy to give you their number.
Dr. Okay. Peter Roth. Thank you
David
very kindly,
Roth.
Sir, and have a great day.
All right, Sharon. Thanks very much. It may not be that much of a problem to fix. It depends.
Hammer toes are relatively easy
yeah.
to
okay.
fix.
Hartley, thanks very much for coming in once again.
Always a pleasure.
Okay. Dr. Hartley Milchen, he's our resident podiatrist.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.